the 260 Dugout Podcast. Welcome to your destination for all things baseball in the Summit City. The 260 Dugout Podcast, presented by the Old Fort Baseball Company. From Little League to Major League Baseball, it's time to go inside the dugout. Here's your host, DC Hendricks.
DC Hendricks here. This is the 260 Dugout Podcast. I am your host. Shout out to our sponsor, the Old Fort Baseball Company. Go to oldfortbaseballco.com and get all the information, all the services, and all the merch that they provide. And shout out to them for making this podcast possible. Of course, we only have a few episodes left, and this one has me the most excited because as we wrap up this first season of the podcast, we have a very big announcement that we are making today. So, without further ado, I've been teasing on social media. The big announcement today, if you're listening to this podcast, for next season, for season two, we are adding our coverage for 260 Dugout. No longer just talking baseball. We are going to go over to the softball diamonds and be highlighting softball players, softball programs, and much more. So very excited to branch out and cover a little bit more in the 260 area code. Baseball and softball. So I wanted to make this guest first because three championships in the last 4 years, just won another one in 2025. So we're going to start off with the Trine softball coach, Don Dakelson. How you doing, coach?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to be here and welcoming me to the Trine Thunder softball field, which I got to say, you know, my first reaction, my first time here, facilities are beautiful. It makes me want to play. I can't. Very many reasons why I can't play on the softball field, but I have to say, coming up, it looks great, and you got a nice run program out here. But let's start off, because I know you told me this is what your 22nd season as the coach here at Trine. So let's go back to when you took over this Trine softball program and talk about how that all played out.
Yeah, the plan was to coach college basketball on the men's side, and this was kind of thrown at me as part of it to get me over out of admissions, to get me the basketball side. And 5 years we did both, and softball kind of started going the right direction quicker than I ever expected it to. And we came to kind of the crossroads of what do we want to do now. And one option was to take basketball off the plate and make softball full-time and see what happens. And that was what we chose to do. And it was the best choice I ever made for my career.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's why I look out. So you took over in 04, and I look out and see a 2008 NCAA appearance. That didn't take very long for you to get hit the ground running. But, like, you know, adjusting from coaching basketball to softball, what were some of the pros and cons of that transition?
You know, it was definitely a different approach. I had to learn right away that if the females knew what time we were eating, where we were eating, life was easier. And, you know, people didn't understand when I said this, but, you know, the girls honestly worked harder. There was less drama, and the team coached females and males. You know, you don't know that's true, but it really was. And they just wanted someone to come in and show them some love, someone to be dedicated and take this program to the next step. And I was more than excited to do that and really make them a priority on campus and just really push them and be dedicated to making them to the next level. And I thought we had everything here to do that, and went a lot faster than I expected. In 2007, we actually won the conference. We were still in probation from NAIA, so we couldn't go to the NCAA tournament. So that was kind of a letdown. In 2008, we got to do it again. And then from then, we've done it every year except for COVID. So it's been just an unbelievable run with a lot of great athletes.
Yeah, I was going to say, so I look out and see all the, you know, the championship banner. So 2014, was that the first year, the first national championship, the first D3 championship?
It was the first time we get to play in the World Series. So I was call it World Series at D3 level, even though we all do. Mm-hmm. It was the first time making to the final eight. What a great experience down in Texas that was. And that was the first time we finally could break through and get there.
So describe your program. So I told you before, you know, we have a lot of high school kids, a lot of college kids on this podcast that also listen to this podcast. So, like, describe your program for, you know, not only those, you know, recruits or anybody even listening. Describe Trine Thunder softball.
We have a great group of young ladies. You know, last year's team was the national champions. Really proud of that. We had the sixth highest GPA in the country. Wow. So they're great student athletes. I think we have the most fun in the country. Our kids work extremely hard. We do not have a JV program, so we're typically 18 to 22 kids on the team. We're a small, family-based program. A lot of individual attention, a lot of one-on-one training, a lot of small group. Our kids work extremely hard. We do lift weights quite often. A lot of plyometric training, a lot of individual stuff, like I said. But I think if you see us play, Dinesh, one thing you notice is that our kids truly are a family, and they are bigger, stronger than you would think as D3 kids. We have won a lot more than we've lost against Division I teams. And if you didn't know the jersey on the front, you would not think that we are a typical Division III softball team.
Yeah, so describe the recruits that you look for. What are some of the attributes that you look for girls that you recruit to bring to your program here at Trine?
We always tell our kids that if you don't hate losing, you don't want to play here. You must love this game, have a passion to get better, want to be coached and held accountable every single day and everything that you do. We just want kids that really love this game and that want to come every day to practice and want to be pushed and want to work hard. And most of our kids, choose this Trine University because they want to be able to balance their academics and softball at a much different level. Most of our kids had D1 or D2 offers and just, you know what, I want to come in and want to play as a freshman. I want to have a better chance to get on the field quicker. And I want to play for a national title and not for a conference title. And I want to play the NCAA tournament. But I also want to be able to, study abroad. I want to be able to have an internship. I want to be able to balance my academics more and know my professors and have more of a relationship on campus and not just be softball all the time and be able to have more of a life balance. And again, instead of, being in the portal world and having to be able to balance softball and academics better, it's just a better fit for a lot of kids.
Yeah, that's good. And so, I definitely wanted you to highlight. First, let's highlight some of the girls that ended up graduating and leaving the program from the 2025 National Championship team. But also, I want you to highlight some of the girls that you got coming back for the 2026 season and beyond.
Well, we lost Alexis Michon, who was national runner-up for Pitcher of the Year, who I think should have won it. You look at her numbers, I think it was 215 strikeouts and like five walks. I mean, just
that's crazy,
just unreal. Was basically won every award you can win. We lost our shortstop last year, who was phenomenal defensively, had some big hits for us, one of the best defensive players I've seen. We lost our catcher, who was a great leader, and Ainsley Phillips and Emma Byers, our shortstop. We lost our left fielder, April Sellers, and then Angelina Perry was another senior that didn't play as much, but a great leader. The senior class that just left, if you look at their story, they won four conference titles, four regular season MIAA tournament titles. They played all 4 years of the postseason at home. They won four NCAA regionals, three super regionals, a national runner-up, and two national titles. And all 4 years had the highest GPA in the conference. And the last year, they had six GPA, highest GPA in the country. I mean, they put the bar pretty high. And I asked them one day, and they just said, "Coach, that's the standard." And I thought that was the coolest thing they ever said. That's the standard. That's what Trine softball is. It's a very high standard. And our kids know when they come here, the standard isn't just about softball. It's about academics, about how you act on campus. It's about how you treat each other. That is the standard. So just a great senior class that we lost. I missed talking to them. I miss hanging out with them. But very excited about this year as well. We have, one through six back offensively, who was, last year we were second in home runs with 75, which is one less than our record. We were top 25 in stolen bases. We have a lot of that speed is back. We were like two, three, or four, or five in almost every offensive category. Basically, all that is back. We got a 24-4 transfer from Salisbury. Pitcher, number one pitcher is here. A very good freshman class. Some pitchers that are really going to help us. So I think we have all the pieces back to be pretty special again. What that means on paper, we'll find out. I love so far. Fall ball has been great. One thing here is we really worked them hard, and they've basically begged for more. And it's not an easy day of practice here. We don't get on the line and run very often, but all of our drill work and all of our conditioning is in how we train. And if you get 2 hours through our practice, you're pretty well physically conditioned and you're very mentally focused. And our kids have left each practice basically begging for more without saying it. And it's great that they're really to go first 2 weeks at our pace and the next day come back and do it again. So I feel like we're on track at a pretty good pace right now to be in a pretty good spot. You know, last year we played the number one strength schedule in the country, and our schedule this year is set up again to be pretty high again. So we'll find out right away, kind of lead off classic, where we are. But I really like, from a leader standpoint, you know, the senior class right now is the freshman class that came in and helped win the first national title. And they're very, obviously, very high class. You know, everyone talks about Debbie Hill from across the country. Then it's a huge name. Mm-hmm. You know, you add Emma Lee, who we call Space. You know, Joe Trine is also back in that class. You know, Katie Huckabee, who was a great year last year, filling in for Joe. I mean, it's a really dominated senior class who has a chance to leave as the most decorated class of all time. I mean, they have a chance to win their third national championship. It might never happen again in school history. And we keep talking about the opportunity they have. And they seem very hungry and very poised. So I'm really excited to see, you know, October 18th, we play Hillsdale here, a very good Division II team, was in the NCAA regional last year. So it's a very good measuring stick in the fall to see where we are. Obviously, fall ball means nothing. It's in the spring, late in the spring, mm-hmm. defines who you are. We have a very good opportunity this year to be a pretty good ball club again.
Yeah, super exciting stuff. And I got to say, you know, like I said, when I first get here, I look at the facilities and it makes me excited, you know, for the kids. And when they come out here, they get all the options, all the different, you know, equipment, all the different cages. There's all kind of stuff out here. And then I get here and you tell me there's even more coming. So talk a little bit about what else you guys got coming here to try.
Well, I missed one senior. I missed Macy Rocha, who if you watched our World Series run, was absolutely huge at third baseman. You know, cannot mention her. But yeah, if you talk about what's coming, if the football stadium right now, if you look at the West End, we have a brand new weight room coming. It's going to be almost three times bigger than what we have right now. Huge addition for the football program and the university itself, as we need more training space like that for all the other programs that use the weight room. And then right next to our field, run parallel with baseball and softball, is going to be a 94,000 square foot dome that's going to be 74 feet high. It'll be big enough for two softball fields. It's going to change the way softball, baseball, soccer, lacrosse, football, rugby, ultimate frisbee, all the sports can train in there. I mean, our indoor training is going to be just second to none. You know, we're fortunate enough to work with the architects, the baseball coach and I, to design the cages that's going to go in there. I mean, this is going to change. You know, we think about now we work in small gyms, we work in the arc, which is, you know, not a bad facility, but it's a rubber floor. We can't work on base running. Now we can go live in there whenever we choose to. We can hit a ball off. You can see balls off the machine. Now they're going to be 74 feet high. We're going to have four cages that are 70 feet long. I mean, it's going to change everything, where we fundraise, where we bring camps in. It's just going to change the whole university. I mean, the amount of things we can do in there. I mean, once that's completed, the oldest building on campus, Hershey Hall, where all our offices are, and with volleyball trains and wrestling trains and cheerleading and acro and tumbling, that whole building is going to be redone. I mean, so basically, the whole face of athletics is about to change. And you look at our campus now, it's beautiful. I mean, I've been here now for 22 years, and when I first got the job, we used to go on the road, and I would be jealous of some of their schools. Mm-hmm. And there's nowhere I go now that I'm envious of. And people come here now, and they're like, man, this place is beautiful. And it's about to get a major facelift again. I'm not sure there's a better university in the country that has the D3 next to it that's better than this place.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, and like, so that brings up something that I've been wanting to ask you too. It's like, all right, so you got these national championships, got the successful program, and it might sound like a weird question, but like, so what are your, I guess, goals? So like, when you win so many championships, like, is it championship or bust? Like, I don't, like, what, how do you look at goals and expectations going into a season after winning a couple championships?
It's basically an experience. You know, every year there's someone on your team that hasn't had that experience. So my goals and motivation is to give the next group that same experience. Is that experience the national championship? Yes, that's the goal, but the process is to get them that experience. So the freshmen haven't been through that. They haven't been through the training. They haven't been through the joy of that bus ride home, and the failure, the wins. So that's what motivates me, is the new class coming in, to give them that joy, to give them those feelings. Hopefully we do our job well enough, they get to experience that. Because there's nothing like the feeling of watching them pick up that trophy and watching them dance 4.5 hours home on the bus and seeing those smiles. Like that, there's not a better feeling. Maybe your kids being born, yes, that's a better feeling. But besides that, I mean, there's not much better than that. So as a coach, that's my motivation, is to to see the joy in those kids' faces. But yes, I mean, the bar here, the standard is pretty high. I'm not saying if you don't win, it's a bust, but I think every year we start with that goal of, yes, our goal here is to win a national championship.
That's solid. So, like, one thing to put everything into contrast. So, I mentioned this is my first time here, and you've already got me locked in. I'm coming back for sure. I need to start, you know, not just following on social media and looking at the post and looking at, you know, the baseball profiles and the softball profiles of the players. Got to come out and check out the product for yourself. I mean, what would you, not really like sales pitch or anything like that, but like for people like me that haven't been here and you want to bring them here to support, I mean, this 260 softball, like 260 area code right here and Division III solid softball program right here in our area. What would you say to those people? What can they expect if they come to see Trine softball?
You're going to see kids play the game the right way. You're going to see a lot of high fives, a lot of hugs, a lot of smiles. You're going to see kids play hard. You see great sportsmanship. You see fans that love their team. You can see a lot of balls leaving the field. You can see kids swinging hard, playing fearless without being, you know, in fear of a failure. You can see great pitching. You can see a lot of dancing and a lot of smiles. And you're going to smell really good food up in the left field for the parents cooking more food than we could possibly eat. And you're going to see a really good family atmosphere.
You had me at the food. So sign me up. Sign me up. But all seriousness, Coach, you got a solid program here. Definitely wanted to make you part of the announcement because I'm very excited to, you know, be covering a little bit more of baseball and softball. I feel like both sports in our area in the 260 don't have enough coverage. So I try to use my platform to highlight not only the kids, but also programs that, you know, that are having and sustaining success and that I believe are doing great things for our area. So I wanted to make you the first one to bring in the softball coverage, and I definitely don't want this to be the last time, Coach.
I'm honored to be on the show. I appreciate it. There's a lot of great softball in the area, softball and baseball. You know, and kids on this campus need more recognition in the area, and we appreciate it and loving you for the game.
All right, still here broadcasting live out here at Trine University. Now we're over here at Jannon Field for Thunder Baseball. So we definitely, of course, wanted to highlight Trine Baseball while we were out here. So I got the head coach, Brett Radcliffe, joining us here now on the podcast. Coach, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to talk with you, and I know we got a lot to unpack. So you are someone that was coaching long before, I don't want to say thought of, but like I was a youngster. I was still, you know, watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Nick Jr. and stuff when you were coaching, and coaching right in my home city, you know? So like, I want to start there. So when did you start coaching? Where did you start coaching? When did you start coaching and where did you start coaching?
Well, as a product of Norwell, I ended up going off to Purdue and then came back to IPFW, and Tom Muth gave me my first opportunity there as to coach in 96 at IPFW. And then went on to Homestead for 3 years to coach there. Mm. And then after that, being young, thought I could know it all. So I went off into the head coaching side and went into the high school side. And I was at Garrett for 6 seasons. And after that, I ended up at DeKalb with Chris Rhodes, which is currently my assistant here now.
Nice.
As he was the head and I was the assistant for 5 years. And then Coach Persky here at Trine gave me an opportunity to come up back up here in 12 and 13. So went back to the Garrett side because we were living there and I had sons growing up. So went back there till the 19 season and then came back up here in the fall of 19 to be with Coach Persky. Just last year in July, so just about 15 months ago, Coach Persky retired after 25 years of being the head coach and the winningest coach here. Mm. That I got the opportunity to take over the helms and be the head coach. So last year was my first year as a head coach and going into year number two here.
Yeah, so I got to know, what are some – you're able to compare then. So you've coached at both the high school level for years, and now you've coached at the college level for years. So what are some similarities and what are some big differences that you've noticed?
Well, the, you know, fundamental baseball is still there. You got to have it if you're going to advance in the high school side of it, and you got to have it here in the college side of it. Pitching is still the same thing. You got to be able to throw strikes at both places. The thing that's difference right now is, you know, your 3, 4, or 5, your best players on the team are now, you know, they could be your 20 to 25th player on the team here now. But it just depends who works harder. The weight system, the weightlifting is huge for us. You know, speed is another thing that really gets faster here on the college side.
Yeah, so you made the transition from coaching high school to coming back to the college ranks. So how was that transition for you? I mean, those are two different levels that I think, you know, I think, you know, when I notice it, I go to a high school game and I see that talent, and then I go to a college game, that's two completely different levels that we're looking at. So for you coaching, what was some of the big transitions for you?
Well, probably the biggest one was, you know, you've got guys already developed and now you're going to fine tune them. Instead of sitting there and really teaching those fundamentals to those 14, 15-year-old freshmen walking in the doors for your high school side. Now you got 17, 18-year-old freshmen that are, you know, pretty much fundamentally there. You just got to fine-tune them a little bit, give them confidence. The mental side is playing a lot bigger part in the college side now than it ever has before. But it definitely was the biggest, probably the biggest transition part.
So talk about your program here. I mean, so let's talk about the now. Trine Baseball. So you said that you came back here, 2019, 2020? Is that when you came back? So talk about the program, how you've established it since you've been back for 5 or 6 years.
Well, coming back and as the assistant that year, you know, that's probably one of our best seasons we were having. Of course, that was COVID year. Mm-hmm. So we shut down and we really, it's kind of struggled a little bit. With the, you know, you talk about wins and losses, numbers have always been there. I think Trine University itself, the academic side, brings kids in here to play. You throw in the facilities and you know, you just got a lot of good things for the kids. The program then has really just kind of been towards the lower part of the conference. And, you know, we just kind of struggled with some little parts here and there. And so now taking over as a program, it's just, like I said, the mental side is a big part. We talk about that. We teach that. We talk leadership. We teach leadership and accountability. You know, our academics are still up there. We're, you know, 3.52 this past year. We're 3.54 the year before.
Nice.
So academics is a must. It's not a choice. So those that don't make it academically usually aren't, you know, helping us on the field.
That's very true. And I wanted to talk about a couple of guys because I know, and something that brought up, you know, our discussion was how well and how heavy you recruit the Fort Wayne area specifically, not just the 260 area, but the Fort Wayne area specifically. I know you got a guy, East Noble, you got a Columbia City, you got Homestead. Talk about some of the guys that you got from the Fort Wayne area.
Yeah, we currently have guys from the Fort Wayne all the way up to Fremont this year with an incoming class of some freshmen. We've got two Snyder kids, a Blackhawk Christian, Homestead, two Homesteads, actually an Angola and a Fremont player. We currently have an East Noble player. We're starting to get more people interested in coming to Trine to play baseball along with being that student athlete right now. So we're pretty fortunate. You know, we've had in the past, you know, a DeKalb, a Columbia City player, and a New Haven player. So we've been around the 260. We just haven't gotten a lot, but we are starting to get more and more interest for coming up here and playing now.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got a Chappelle from Homestead. That was the first name that, as his little brother Eli, is killing it right now. I don't know if anybody's been paying attention to that, but Eli has been killing it as well. So a family with a lot of ball players. So, yeah, definitely wanted to do that and highlight that. But also, in addition to that, so something that also intrigued me about our conversation was I know you used to do stuff for NABF, but you also have done a lot of stuff for USA Baseball. Talk about that.
Well, actually, the NABF was a lot of the early 2000s, and if it wasn't my connection with NABF back in the day with Dick Crumback, which turned into Charlie Blackburn with the NABF Nationals and everything, then I wouldn't have an opportunity with USA because I actually went with a national team director for NABF from 02 to 05 there, and then got on the USA side and started being an evaluator for them. For about 3 years at different levels, got to go to the finals, the trial section to select the national teams. Wow. And then actually in 09, I was a pitching catching coach with the 09 14U national team, and which we won a gold in Ecuador. So got to travel a little bit there and went back in 10, got the bronze there and Nicaragua there. So And then just back into different parts for them. I've been fortunate to go to Little League World Series to represent USA, mm-hmm. to an all-star game, fly around to different places for draft choices to evaluate those guys and the things over the course of the years. And then back again this year, went out to Arizona to help select the 17U development team.
That's solid, impressive stuff. That's why I said you've done a lot of things in baseball that I really admire, and I'm sure a lot of people listening like, wow, that's a pretty impressive resume. So talking about the program here. So you said that you haven't, done the greatest in terms of winning losses. So recap this last season for me. Let's just stick with last season and at the same time address, some things that you're working on. I'm assuming this fall that you're going to get ready for spring in 2026.
Yeah, last year was a big turning point for us for, being more a team, camaraderie. We needed to believe in ourselves. And so our motto last year was Credo, and that's Latin for believe. And so we had to believe in each other first and yourself and then in the program. So we competed. That was the one thing. Every weekend we competed. We won a series against Hope. That was the first time since, I think, 2016 we'd won a series against Hope. So we were pretty fortunate to really be in our games. We took the number two team all the way to every game to the end last year. So we're very happy about that on the competing side. So this year we stepped it up a little bit more, and we brought in some freshman pitchers. We brought in some freshman, catchers and outfielders. So just to kind of boost up our area of where our needs were from last year. I mean, we only lost six seniors, and they really did the leadership. They set the tone for us for this year. And so, now we've got to get to that next part, which is, the winning side of it. And so, this year's motto is expect to win. And so that kind of just speaks for itself. We've got to walk out and win every part of the game of baseball, because there's so many little parts of it out there. And so, we've got, 72 kids in the program. We do have a development team here, and we play a development schedule. So it's one of those that when I say we develop, because our senior pitcher, that's probably our number one, number two guy this year, his freshman year, all he did was play development. We got an outfielder that played his entire freshman year on development. We've got other players that will be huge role players this year that have been playing on the development team. Pitchers coming in that pitched last year on the development and or came in late with us in the season. So that's a nice part to really see these guys develop, with my assistant coaches and their expertise. That's been huge for us, and being able to develop those kids not just on the mound but at the plate. I think we were second in the league last year with home runs. So our weight room is very crucial for us to get in there. Our exit velos improved, our velo on the mound improved with our arm care program with our pitching coaches. And so it's really been pretty neat to see these kids come back this year ready and hungry to go. And, it's tough. We only travel 32, 34 kids. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a tough one when we make that final team.
Yeah, Coach. So like you mentioned, with this program, and you told me before we started recording that I believe you're looking for a few more players. So like, what do you tell those players, coming into this program? How do they buy in? What do you tell them?
I tell them, I don't ever offer a spot to say you can start. It's you can come in and compete. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want. We want competition amongst ourselves to basically make each other better. And the nice part about it is, our shortstop, he started there last 2 years. And he is coming in competing during practice day in and day out. Like he needs to earn that spot. On the other side, he's also being a leader. He's teaching the young guys, hey, this is how we do it. And so it's really neat to look out there on the field when I see my seniors and juniors teaching these younger kids exactly where they need to be on certain positions or how we do this up the middle.
That's solid stuff, Coach. Good approach. And I got to ask this too. So on my way in, I think in left field, I noticed some turf sitting out there waiting to get put on. So I wanted to highlight too some additions and things that are getting worked on and upgraded on the field here at Janin Field.
Yeah, Coach Matt Land, which is our athletic director, really, you know, he's a 260 guy. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those, he's really given us all opportunities around here to make the facilities, which along with Dr. Brooks, our president, he is just, you know, everything's about the kids here at Shrine, whether it's academically or athletically. And so we're in the middle of finishing up about $140,000 project on the field itself. Our bullpens are redone. We're going to turf those. We've got new batting cage coming in. We've redone the mounds area. New fence. Our padding is all brand new fencing now. Mm-hmm. It's along the backstop, along with the outfield, plus another fence down the side of our third base. Kind of enclosed that area a little bit. And then all of a sudden, like Coach D said, you know, we've got a dome coming in, which is going to be huge for us on the recruiting side of things. You know, and a lot of the kids we're recruiting right now, we probably have, I'm going to say 10 to 12 260 kids have been on campus already this year, just as 26 grads. And, now there's a couple 27s that are interested. So, you know, it's the academics is big for here, that the reason why they come on here. Engineering is one of our number one, coming with business number two. So it's nice to see the kids that are interested here in Northeast Indiana interested in coming to Trine.
It's a beautiful campus and a beautiful program, Coach. I look forward to coming out here. As I told you before we started recording, I'll be out here checking out the team as much as I can. I'm only about a 30-minute drive, so it's not too bad. I drive further than that to drop my kids off from school to school every morning. Yeah. So I got no excuse. So I definitely look forward to checking out the program and definitely look forward to keeping in touch with you. I know the program is growing, and I want to be here to see it all.
All right. Well, DC, I really appreciate it. And I know Northeast Indiana, there's a lot of really good talent in baseball. And then, you know, you're going into softball, which is great for our kids out there. So anything you do with the kids, especially interviewing them and, you know, different coaches out there that I've heard you on your podcast, it's pretty neat. Pretty neat to see and hear.
Thank you so much, Coach, for coming on.
All right. Thank you very much.
Perfect.